Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we want to get right back into our study of the Bible doctrine of propitiation, which we've been looking at for the last couple of days. But first, I need to mention Sermon of the Month number 6, which I have failed to do the last couple of days, but here we are at the beginning of June, and we need to encourage you to write and receive a copy of this Beacon Pulpit Bible study entitled The Strangling Chokehold of Covetousness. The Strangling Chokehold of Covetousness, the text is Luke 12:15. Now, that's not a feel-good sermon, but it's a do-you-good sermon. Be interesting to see how many people want a copy of this, but I think it'll do you a great deal of good. The Strangling Chokehold of Covetousness, it's the kind of message that God will use to help your sanctification as a believer, and probably one you'll want to pass along to others to help them in their progress toward Christ-likeness. It's yours without cost or obligation if you will write and give us your name, address, and the call letters of the station that you hear the Beacon broadcast on, and simply mention that you'd like Sermon of the Month number 6. We'll send it to you on cassette tape without any cost. Our mailing address, as you probably know, is the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Well, back to our text in Romans 24 and 25. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. All right, it starts with justification, verse 24, which we've already seen is God's free gift of salvation. Justification, which is a pardon, but it's more than that. Justification, which is cleansing, but it's more than that. Justification, which is credited righteousness. God pronouncing the sinner just by imputing, we could say again, pronouncing the righteousness of Christ in the place of the sinner's sin, the sinner's guilt. God accepting the righteousness of his Son and legally applying it to the account of the believing sinner. It's like a bank transaction. If somebody comes along with my bank account, maybe has a deposit slip that I've given them, and deposits $1,000 into my account, that $1,000 is mine, whether I deposited it or not. It might not have been my $1,000 that went into the account, but once it is credited to my account, it now belongs to me. It is now mine. And that is perfectly legal and perfectly understandable. I have a check. Well, I don't have it now. I had it a few days ago for $1,200 that I kept forgetting to deposit. Until I deposited it to my account, it really wasn't of any use to me. But once I took it to the bank and took one of my deposit slips with my bank statement on it and deposited it into my account, it was mine. Even though before I made that deposit, that money was not mine. Now, that's a simple way of explaining justification. Christ takes the sinner's place. Christ stands in the believing sinner's stead. And therefore, Christ's righteousness is credited to the sinner's account. That's justification. Redemption, as we've already seen, also in verse 24, is Christ's costly payment for salvation. He paid the price, the required price, and what a price it was. He ransomed hell-deserving sinners by laying down his own life. The imputed righteousness, which is credited to our account, came to us at great cost to God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then what is propitiation? If justification is God's free gift of salvation, and redemption is Christ's costly payment for salvation, what is propitiation? And that is God's merciful justice displayed in salvation. God's merciful justice displayed in salvation. Propitiation is mercy reconciled with justice. The problem, of course, in salvation is, how can God be just and justifier? How can a just God forgive guilty sinners? That is a major problem, I keep telling you. Our modern minds don't see that as a problem because we don't understand God very well. But if we would understand who God is and what justice is and what holiness is, and would realize that a holy God cannot acquit sin simply by deciding to do it, he can only do so if it is properly atoned for, we realize that propitiation is enabling a holy God to justify sinners without violating his justice and holiness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And remember, in propitiation, the initiator of it is God. In fact, we could break it down further if we wanted to look at the different members of the Trinity and say the initiator is God the Father. We read in verse 24, being justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. So, Christ is the sacrifice, but it is apparently God the Father who sets him forth to be the sacrifice, to be the propitiation. I say I think it's God the Father. Sometimes it's difficult to tell in Scripture when the word is God, whether it's talking about God the Father specifically or whether it's talking about the triune God. We know that Christ is the sacrifice. Not God the Father, not God the Holy Spirit, but Christ the Son is the sacrifice, he and he alone. And it seems to me, therefore, that God the Father is the one who sets forth the sacrifice. He's the initiator in propitiation. Not Christ. Not Christ. But God the Father. And the purpose is to publicly display divine justice and divine mercy coming together. Truth and righteousness blended together. Justice and mercy blended together. This is the just solution to God's holy wrath. God has set Christ forth as a propitiatory sacrifice, setting him forth on display before the entire intelligent universe, not to produce a subjective change in the sinner, but to appease the just wrath of a holy God. He took his own son and laid him out as a sacrifice for our sins, so that all the universe, the watching universe, you say, who's watching? Satan, the fallen angels, as well as the holy angels, are watching to see if God is going to violate his justice so that they can accuse him of being less than just. God, you are not holy because you have justified the guilty. And that is not an act of holiness. That may be an act of sentimentality. That may be an act of kindness, but at the expense of justice. You cannot demonstrate mercy at the expense of justice and still be a just God, still have the right to rule on the throne of the universe because you have violated justice. God says, no, I haven't. No, I haven't. The price has been paid. The sacrifice has been made. And I have given my own son so that justice will be done, fully and completely done, but still in a way that allows me to show mercy to the sinner. And so that's the purpose for propitiation, which is appropriated by faith in his blood. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That is, through faith in his death, through faith in the sufferings of Christ culminating in his death. We talk sometimes about salvation being secured by the person and work of Christ. And we must understand who Christ is and what he did, and we must have faith in that. We must believe in that. We must trust in him. We must trust what he did for our soul's salvation. For faith is the indispensable means of obtaining the benefits of this sacrifice. When we believe that Christ's death is a sacrifice which makes atonement for sins, an atonement for our sins, and when we rest on it as a sufficient answer to all the accusations against us found in the holy law of God, which in the punishment of death it demanded for sin, we can know assuredly that we have been justified before God. We are saved from the holy wrath of God, which deservedly abided upon us. And that, if you will think it through, and I won't take time to go into this again because I did so a couple of days ago, but that limits believers to the effect, the results of this propitiation. The propitiation is not made for all men universally. It is made for all believers. Because everyone for whom this sacrifice is made is, therefore, a recipient of the propitiation which stays the wrath of God. The wrath of God cannot fall upon anyone for whom Christ in his death was a propitiatory sacrifice. God's wrath is hereby stayed. Well, there are a lot of lessons in the doctrine of propitiation. We could talk about the unity of the Trinity in salvation. What God the Father did, what God the Son did, what God the Holy Spirit does, wonderful unity. We can talk about the precision of doctrine that is necessary to avoid error. When Christians don't understand these things, they often fall into wrong thinking and even into wrong ways of talking to other people about the gospel. We could talk about the greatness and graciousness of the provision, which is probably what we ought to talk about, so that we might encourage sinners to trust in him humbly, gratefully, believingly. Not what these hands have done could save my guilty soul. Thy work alone, my Savior. And that's the only way that sinners can be justly justified, is by the propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross, appeasing the just and holy wrath of Almighty God against sinners. Do you have a sacrifice for your sins? Until tomorrow at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.